Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Three Beards EPL Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, with your other host, Ken Lee of the Arsenal team. Ken, a lot happening this week. We have a Carabao Cup final. We have managers talking back and forth. We have some results in the Prem. Overall, pretty exciting weekend. And it looks like also just a light touch on the on some of these managers as we look at whether or not it's important to entertain, Ken, something that I thought about a lot this week. You know, I know you do a lot of driving. Do you ever just like zone out and imagine what would your life be like if Arsene Wenger didn't have his big puffy jacket and his frowny face to bring to every single game? I'm sorry to beat on Arsenal again so quickly, but he brought the frowny face in this one, and you know the Carabao Cup final, Arsenal versus Man City at Wembley, temporary home of Tottenham, obviously. But you know that Arsenal has been excellent in the cup finals and really put on showings. And in this one, I thought that they looked pretty good for the first 15 minutes or so. But I don't know. What did you think about the first few minutes of this Carabao Cup final?
The first few minutes, I think, you know, we looked up for it. We looked ready for the task. We were together, defensively sound. There were a couple of chances that would snuck in from City. They were doing their usual high-pressure offense.
They were a little timid, though, don't you think?
They were playing kind of timid.
City was a little timid. They reminded me of that United game in where they looked a little overawed, which is surprising, but continue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But there were still... I would still say that they were pressing, and we were kind of... you know, shoring ourselves up, just kind of trying to, it looked like weather that first 20 minutes playing against the club that you know is better than you, and you know you're not the favorites to win. And, you know, luck would have it, we did not make it those 20 minutes. And for whatever it's worth, after we got scored on for about 12 minutes, I honestly thought that we were going to be the next team to score.
I did too.
I was really surprised to go into halftime at 1-0. I really thought it was going to be 1-1. And then, you know, when the second half started, it's the same old for Arsenal. Wenger goes in there and tells them what I can only imagine sounds something to the effect of, it's just a game. We already played half. Whatever happens, happens. It doesn't matter, boys. Let's go out there and try to make the most of it.
Let's give them a good show.
And that doesn't work because... we look like a pub team in the second half. Like,
yeah,
it was painful for me to watch. Painful. Very painful. I'm doing as well as to be expected. I mean, no one expected Arsenal to beat Manchester City anyway. Nobody expects Arsenal to beat Crystal Palace, much less Manchester City.
Right,
so
yeah.
I'm not really worried about that, the loss. It's more the fact that it was just embarrassing to watch as a fan. And, you know... I can only assume that this is going to happen for another season and a half, so...
Yeah, I would say, you know, I was talking to City James, and if you get a chance,
sure,
listeners, if you didn't get to hear our episode last week, James Lewis came on and gave us about a half an hour of pretty intense City talk. If you are a City fan, if you're not a City fan, it was overdue, and I think it was a really good episode in terms of touching on City's history, where they're coming now, and where they are at right now, leading into this game, you know, with talk of a treble, they would have to win. They're out of the FA Cup, and if they had been knocked out of two cups, I mean, obviously they're in a final here, they're not getting knocked out, but if they had been knocked out, you would have to say that this season was... kind of tilting in a disappointing fashion, despite leading the league by 13 or 16 points or whatever they're at right now. I think it's 13.
Too many to count.
13 with a game in hand. But, you know, that's not what happened here. I have to say that you and I have been talking about the show and just kind of getting away from breaking it down play by play and getting into the more general themes of the EPL, etc., because it's more interesting to you and I to talk back and forth about that kind of thing. But to ignore Mustafi's antics on the first goal is impossible for me, because I believe that is at the heart of the heart of Arsenal's problems. You know, basically what I always say is that they don't have a spine at defense. And I like Mustafi. I don't think he's a bad player. But it's a goal kick. It's him and Aguero. Aguero's taken three steps behind him. You can't be offsides on a goal kick. He's taken three steps behind him. He backs up as the ball is coming towards him. Mustafi does not get goal side, and they're back to back. Aguero gives him a little bit of a back shove, like nothing else to it, no foul. The ball floats right over Mustafi, and Sergio Aguero is in a one-on-one with the keeper. The ball takes a bounce, and he flicks it over his head easily and scores a goal. I thought that was absolutely atrocious and completely, I mean, just how do you do that in a cup final and to not have Wenger screaming at him? Instead, he's screaming at Pep. What were your thoughts when you saw that play in general? You and I really didn't even talk about it.
Everyone saw the play who watched the game.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. It's to never happen on a club that has ambitions to win anything major.
Anything at all.
I will say this about that specific moment, and we'll go to Wenger yelling at Pep, which I thought was kind of funny, because I was like,
yeah,
I wonder what he's yelling at him
about. I couldn't figure it out.
Like, what? You can't. You have nothing else to do, so you're going to yell. I would imagine Wenger's doing something about yelling at him about playing a cherry picking role, but it's still yeah. a defensive lapse. And
yeah.
let's go forward to almost the end of the game, because at this moment in time it was 3-0, and Pep Guardiola ran to the sideline, screamed something which I can only imagine was obscenities, threw his hands up, and walked back disgusted to his seat. That is a manager who is demanding results and has changed the culture of a club. At 3-0 with 4 minutes left in the game, he is still annoyed at little mistakes being made.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the difference is in management styles of today. It's just a simple equation of just being managed off the pitch. And Wenger was managed out of Wembley today. He had no ideas. Couldn't make substitutions that made any sense. Didn't come in with a plan of attack to win, because I've always said this, and I think it's true. Manchester City, when you attack them, they will let you in. And we never tried. And the two times we did try, literally really try, we didn't really act like we wanted anything out of it. I thought kind of Aubameyang looked kind of weak today, honestly, if I'm going to start.
Yeah, he should have scored that first,
talking about
one of the first plays of the game. Well, I think
he
might have been
offside.
You got
to be more direct. You have to be more direct.
He might have been offside there. I don't remember.
Of course he's offside, because why would he not be offside? Because the two strikers that we've purchased this season live offside. But it doesn't matter. It's here nor there.
Yeah.
It's management styles. That's the issue here. Pep is mad at 3-0 because of a mistake. Arsene Wenger is looking for excuses to make when his team loses. I can't stand it. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's a matter of time.
I want to spend a lot of time on management in this episode, so I'm not going to do any more play-by-play. I will say that after the goal, City went up a tick. I still thought Arsenal was in it a little bit, especially when Fernandinho picked up a yellow, and I thought to myself, well, Jack Wilshere is in a mood to dive around, and it's possible that Fernandinho might put another foot in, just hit Ozil, one of these slippery guys, and get a second yellow. I thought that was your hope.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, we could go man up at this point.
And I thought that was your hope, and then as I thought more about that, I was like, that's really bad. Like, that is the hope in this game. That just means to me that Manchester City is a much better team. They score again with Vincent Kompany. Don't tell City James this, but I think I actually really like Vincent Kompany, especially as like an old guard kind of defender, you know, Ken? Like, who wouldn't want a guy like that on your team? He's had a bad injury history, but when he's in the City squad, he adds the steel and spine that I think that Arsenal is lacking. Liverpool was lacking. I'm not sure if Van Dijk can really be that guy yet, but Kompany scores like a captain. You know, like he's that old leader in a Vidic role. And you have to say that he's deserving to score, and then Silva slips in and scores. Even though Silva and De Bruyne really didn't have great games in this one, Ken. De Bruyne playing his 50th game of the year or something like that. I mean,
it's ridiculous, yeah.
I mean, amazing to me. Sterling not even in the team. Jesus comes on a little later after, you know, he's back, Ken. He was sobbing on the sideline with a knee injury like 3 weeks ago.
He's back.
And he looked like he had blown his knee out, but he's back. City looks immense, for lack of a better term, and they take the game away here. You bring up a really good point about expectations in management, and I think the great managers are exactly what you're saying. That is a huge difference. When your manager is demanding the absolute best from you all the time, and I think Pep's done a really, really good job of that this year, of, you know, when they're up 5-0, borderline pulling guys off the field because they're not completing passes in the way that he wants them to. You see that,
yeah, because it's never acceptable. It's never acceptable.
Exactly.
If we allow it to be acceptable at when we're winning 5-0, what makes it unacceptable at 0-0? Nothing. It's a very gray area. So you have to go black and white. This is what I demand. This is how it's going to be. And if this is not how you are going to be, then you will not play for this club. And that only works if you change the culture. And Pep Guardiola, in 1.5 seasons, has very much so changed the culture and atmosphere of Manchester City to where they are a club that wins.
Expectations.
There is nothing less.
Absolutely.
There is nothing less. And when they lose, there's something to be learned from it. He goes back to the drawing board. He says, okay, we did this, this, and this wrong. We've worked on this. And it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I think, you know, you take a look at the managers who have been successful this year. We'll talk a little bit about Klopp right now, and we'll get into that. You know, another nice big win from Liverpool, as their offense just looks absurd. I mean, since they've shored up their defense, Ken, their offense looks absurd. And you know who scored in this one? They win 4-1.
Go figure.
You know. Big Mo Salah scores in the 51st minute. But the expectations from Klopp as well, you know, you go back to him pulling Lovren off, you know, in the 30th minute after mistakes. That's the kind of steal that I think Arsene Wenger lost, and I don't know what year it was, Ken. You can't really pinpoint like that. But when he became a philosopher and stopped being a manager, if that makes sense, he wanted to... He had a certain view that he wanted to see, and it took the place of kicking a player in the balls when they're not doing what they're asked to do, or when the team loses 3-0 and gets drubbed. In this one, you know what he said after the game.
I saw the end of the game. I left it on.
I
was doing other things.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising. I turned it off after the third goal for a few minutes and was watching something else as well, but I came back. Anyway, he said that they were unlucky and that the second goal is offside.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Klopp, on the other hand, gets a big win, 4-1, and I just wanted to talk about that game because of the expectations and how that pulling of Lovren off the field reset their defensive expectations. You and I laid into them early in the year about how poor their defense was, and then they had a nice stretch of games. They still will have those games where they allow a bunch of goals on free kicks and stuff like that because they play zonal marking, Ken. But in this one, they win 4-1, and they look like a second-place team because of Klopp changing his expectations. And, you know, we're not going to talk any more about the Arsenal Man City game. Man City winners. They're on their way, well on their way to a double. 3-0 victory, which is what James predicted. Sorry, had to bring it up because he texted me about it like 20 times. And, you know, Arsenal sits a deserved sixth place. They are a game in hand, but the table is starting to shift, Ken. So what do you do? You're in one game in hand. Let's say you win that game in hand. You are 5 points out of fifth place. Do you think that this team has any kind of medal that they can be brought anywhere close to that fifth place team, especially with Chelsea being the fifth place team and their manager starting to make signs that he's looking to duck out? I mean, he's been making signs all year, but
I do think that Arsenal being a second half of the season club that we are,
once it warms up,
I think that we'll finish in fifth. But that's not anything against Chelsea per se. It's more because the manager doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to be basically between 5 and 6, which manager cares less. And at that point, I really do think that Conte just doesn't care anymore. And it's because, and it's not really Conte's fault. I really will come to the defense of Conte right now and say, I believe that Chelsea lost faith in Conte before the season even started. And that doesn't sit well with a manager like Antonio Conte, who won them the league. And to his point, or at least his thought, it might not even be a point. It might just be what he's conjuring up in his mind. Mm-hmm. He was not getting the support and backing of a club that he felt he deserved in the terms, in the likes of making the necessary signings. And I think, I don't know. I would be surprised to see Chelsea stay in fifth. I would like to see Arsenal finish in fifth, but I mean, would I even like it? I don't even care at this point.
You want to go back to Europa? Seriously.
Where we finish. It doesn't even matter. All I want to do right now, my biggest focus is AC Milan.
Yeah, AC Milan, they're your Europa draw, and they have 12, I think they have a 12-game unbeaten streak in Serie A, but they're also in 7th place, and they're not even close to, like, a Champions League spot. So they're really playing poorly this year, which match up, no offense, well, offense anyway, I don't care. Arsenal is right there with them, so it'll be a battle between
two clubs that are really underperforming.
AC Milan more so than Arsenal, even because of the amount of money they spent and some of the terrific players they brought in. I mean, Bonucci's world class for sure. But yeah, so I mean, that's what Arsenal has to focus on. And I mean, if I'm you, I want to finish in sixth rather than fifth. I say that as a club that finished in sixth last year. At the same time, there's no excuses at that point. If you don't win Europa, how on earth can you keep your manager? I mean, I'm talking to an Arsenal fan, so it may not even matter.
I mean, I've seen the most wild things ever. I mean, I've gone, excuse me, I've gone the over, I've almost gone, what, the better part of 2 decades.
Yeah. But we talk about 20.
A meaningful trophy. So, I mean, I don't know. Is that even a discussion? Like, is it even up for discussion? If we finish in sixth, does Wenger get the axe? I hope, but I'd be surprised.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised.
I mean, I feel like we talk about Wenger every single week about getting rid of him. I think the biggest hope is now that he takes the French national job after the World Cup, and in that way, he's, you know, he can duck out the way he wants to, etc., and he gets respect. But we were talking about Conte leading into this Chelsea Man United game, huge match. Ken, as this game starts and Liverpool is in second place, Manchester United technically in third. Not technically, they were in third. And Chelsea was in fifth going into this game as Tottenham steals a win away. We'll talk about it after this one. But the lead up to this match was interesting, the United-Chelsea match at Old Trafford. You had these two managers who had been sniping back and forth. A lot of fun, you know, in the I like to see it, Ken, in the media. And I think Conte responds too much to Jose. The other managers have figured out you just don't talk to him. You know what I mean? When he decides to run his mouth, you just don't talk to him. But Conte's the opposite.
Yeah, Conte, he can't help himself.
No, he can't. He's very emotional. And you were telling me that he was talking about he got like a call from his dad saying that he wasn't doing the right things and this other stuff.
Yeah, it's just something I read. Said that he was lacking the intensity or lacking the spirit needed to win, and basically getting like a motivational speech from his dad. But I don't think that, you know, he's lost the spark to be a manager. I just think he's lost the spark to manage Chelsea.
Yeah, but I mean, we talked about this at the very beginning of the year. In the first episode, actually, we talked about how when things aren't going exactly right for Conte, he mopes so hard, and it's impossible not to have that transfer to your team. You know what I mean? Like, when things aren't going your way in the transfer market, you know, he's got David Luiz sitting out in the cold. He doesn't play him anymore because they had a bust up. But I know David Luiz to me makes too many mistakes to be a great center back, world class center back. But he is good enough. And you take a look at, they have Christensen in there. He plays good games, but he's only 21, so he's going to make mistakes. He makes a mistake against Barcelona and allows the one away goal. It's 1-1 in that match. And you have to say that, you know, with Chelsea going into this match, they felt like this is must win, and you're going to Old Trafford. They started brightly in this one. I thought, you know, United played extremely poorly in the first half, extremely poorly, Ken. And that was coming off their Champions League game where they were 0-0. We'll talk about that actually after this game. But United playing so defensively early, just doing that gross, like, 4-5-1 where they just blast the ball at Lukaku aimlessly from the center back. They drill an unplayable ball at his neck. You know what I mean? And to play that defensively at Old Trafford, I was really upset with the first half. Granted, Chelsea didn't have a lot of great chances.
You could have been surprised.
They did have a beautiful move, Ken, where Morata, of all people, takes a line drive from Willian, who played like a... There was like a 50-yard ball played across from maybe Hazard onto the edge of the 18 near the left side of the box, and he one-time crosses a line drive, and Morata drills it, but he hits the woodwork because he's so out of form. Definitely a story in this one was Morata's play, but Chelsea...
Lack of play.
Yeah, Chelsea still... Willian is on fire. He actually took Hazard's role and forced them to move Hazard inside and play center midfield, Ken. I don't know if you noticed that, but Willian's so hot. Scores in this one off of a multi-errored play. Scores in the 32nd minute, deserved for Chelsea. And then you'd have to say that United, against the run of play, scores Anthony Martial in the box, right around the penalty marker, a couple cute little touches, sets up Lukaku, who pushes Alonso off the ball and finishes. Going into the half 1-1, I thought we played like garbage.
Yeah, I think it was pretty lucky to be 1-1 at that particular moment. But, you know, it's the way the cards fell. And, I mean, I don't believe you for a second that you were disgusted at seeing the defensive nature that United came out with. You had to be expecting that.
Yeah, we'll get into that, because that's going to be our next talking point, especially after the 0-0 game. Yeah, I was sickened by it. I shouldn't... Just because I was sickened by it doesn't mean I wasn't expecting it, Ken. You know what I mean? So I was very disappointed by that, but actually, Jose made the adjustments in the second half. He's the one who made the adjustments, and United played much better after the half. Morata had a good first 15 minutes, but then after that ball hit the crossbar, he was junk. He got pushed off. He kept getting pushed around. He was on the ground for half the game, especially on balls that were like free, like goal kicks and things like that, where he would be challenged by Lindelof, who's not particularly physical, and Smalling, who is physical, but at the same time, like, Morata was on, never even contending for these aerial battles.
I'd be curious to know, out of all the minutes that Morata has played, how many minutes are actually on his feet, and how many minutes is he off of his feet? And I don't mean it to be as a dick to him, but he falls entirely too easily. And he's going to need to either hit the weights, hit the gym, and mm-hmm. or, you know, just realize that that type of play doesn't work here. If he's going to have any type of success in this league. I doubt that he is accepting of the way he's played this season. I doubt that the Chelsea board or Conte's accepting of it either. I'm just curious as to when he's going to actually parlay that mindset into, or what I hope is the mindset at Chelsea, onto the pitch and stay on his feet and try to score a goal, because his performances are almost laughable when it comes to being the center striker for a club like Chelsea, who typically has ambitions to be challenging on multiple fronts. And
yeah, Dr. Pete asked me how much I thought he weighed. I said the way he plays, like 160 pounds, and I wasn't kidding. And I know he's 6'2", and 160 would be really light. I looked it up. He is listed at 180. But he plays so soft. He played so soft in this game.
He's weak, yeah.
I have some statistics for you. He has gone 540 minutes without scoring in the league. He hadn't started since January. He has more yellow cards than combined goals and assists since October 1st. He has 9 yellow cards and 8 goals/assists. That is impressively bad. And the funny thing to me was, not only did he play poor for the entire game, but they had an option on the bench of a man who has scored on Manchester United several times and has some steel to him, Olivier Giroud. They just got him. Olivier
could have came in. But, I mean, to the defense of Mourinho, I mean, when they did bring on Giroud, Mourinho adapted and he made substitutions. And
they brought him on way late.
Changed it away. Yeah, but still, like, Mourinho still had a plan for him, too. They brought in Baye just to deal with the height.
I mean,
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Mourinho was just, he came to play today, and he wanted to win, and 2-1 was, I think, justified, minus that abysmal first half.
Yeah, the second half, much better.
It was almost as if he went into halftime, it's like, all right, well, we're not losing 1-0. We should try to go win this now.
Yeah, that's what kind of seems. He brings on Lingard, who scores a really nice goal. Lukaku beats a man on the left-hand side and crosses it in. Lingard goes in, scores, and does a Black Panther celebration from the new movie that they have out, the new comic book movie, Black Panther. And I thought it was Wolverine. I was really excited about it. And then they were like, oh, it's a Black Panther celebration. Well, I was like, well, everybody's doing that. I was really hoping for, like, something original, because I've seen that celebration, the Black Panther celebration, from a bunch of different athletes, and I was like, oh, man.
You got to stay current, Tom.
Yeah, I know. It's because I'm not current enough, but I was really hoping for the Wolvie, although I did like the Black Panther movie. It was really good if you get a chance to see it. Anyway, so Lingard scores.
I have two kids at home. I probably won't get to see it until it comes out on TV. But
yeah, so Lingard comes and scores the substitute. Kante, on the other hand, takes Hazard off in this one, which is bizarre to take
a
player
what he
like
said
that
about
off.
That, too.
What did he say? No.
He said, it's my job. I could see that he used all his energy in the first half, and he started the second half off just the same. So my job is to see when a player uses their energy and make adjustments. That's not a quote, but that's pretty much what he said.
Well, it didn't work out as United take the game with a Lingard header. Great header by Lingard. Really has come a long way in this season, and you'd have to say that has really pushed himself. He probably should have been the starting lineup. That's kind of what Dr. Pete said right away. He's like, I don't understand how Lingard doesn't start this game. But the reason for that was because United wanted to not really play any offense in the first half, very similar to the way they played Sevilla in the midweek. Ken, we'll get into that now. A huge win for United, 2-1. I'm ecstatic as a United fan to take to be in second place as the run-in starts. 10 games left in the league. Chelsea falls to fifth with a crestfallen manager, who got a pat on the head after the game from Jose, a very condescending pat on the head. During the handshake, which I thought was ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, Josie says now the argument and spat is over with.
Yes, I saw that.
But it's only because
they won. He put an end to it.
He is such a child.
He is. But, you
know,
such a child. This win was huge for me as a United fan, for the team, because that Sevilla performance, you know, you always criticize me for putting a positive spin on things. I was absolutely livid after 0-0. At Sevilla, not getting the away goal. More importantly, playing like absolute trash and not trying to win against a Sevilla team that had a goal differential of like +5 in La Liga. You know, that was just a miserable defensive game.
To be that annoyed with Mourinho when it really did make sense for him to play that disgusting type of football. But I've seen Man United draw games during the season where you give them less stick, where it absolutely makes no sense for them to play like that. But at least in this game, he has a very vested interest in a 0-0 draw.
In the
Sevilla
game,
win.
Yes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So,
But United is such... I understand where you're coming from, and I understand the pragmatism behind a 0-0 draw. And people that say that it's not a smart move in the Champions League, they don't know what they're talking about. But to have all the other teams that
are
matched up...
It's very much a smart move. When you go away and you can leave 0-0, that's a win.
You know, I think what puts a lot of pressure on it is the fact that Liverpool blew up and City blew up in their Champions League matches and Tottenham blew up in their Champions League match and played...
Well, Tottenham blew up because they had to.
They played fantastically. I mean, there's nothing else you can really say about it. Besides, they played fantastically, and for United to play as badly as they did, they really should have lost 2-0, because David De Gea pulled two goals out. There's a difference between playing defensively and not attacking at all, to the point where a team that is very mediocre and below your level
but
is in the game.
They've done that several times this season, and I've heard you say nothing but positive remarks about it, how it's just Jose being strategic and being tactical. Like, this time, it really is strategic and tactical.
But they should have lost.
The fact that they played like garbage, it doesn't matter if he should have lost. They basically won.
He does have, you know, Jose does have a luck streak. He does get lucky breaks and bounces, and I mean, at a certain point, you don't call it luck anymore. But he definitely does, because that game, that save that De Gea had, that one-handed save on a header from 6 feet away, was absurd to throw that ball.
Why De Gea is being pounded around by one of the biggest clubs in the world, Real Madrid, and he keeps, for whatever reason, unbeknownst to anyone, keeps staying at Manchester United, where he single-handedly.
That's true.
Gives results. I mean,
yeah,
it's very circa last season, where the only reason you guys had so many draws as you did is because of De Gea.
Well, actually, last season the story was the conversion rate. They had the 16th lowest conversion rate in the Premier League. They didn't score any goals, but yeah, De Gea definitely wins points on his own.
Which requires a keeper keeping goals out of your goal.
But it wasn't like the year of Louis van Gaal where he pulled everything out, and this year, actually more so than last year, De Gea has won points, especially since most of United's victories are by one goal. So yeah, I mean, I agree and disagree with you there, but back to this game, you know, it brings up an important point. Is it important for a manager to entertain? I had to suffer through Louis van Gaal, who didn't really get results per se, but got fourth place, was still fired anyways the following season after his fifth place, because he played this sideways possession game with no real attack into it. And then you have Jose, who plays even more defensively. Ken, coming from an Arsenal fan who sees some beautiful performances, but then over the span of a season, maybe gets let down a lot. How do you feel about entertainment versus results?
I think it comes down to results, because the club that I follow, Arsenal, they only have one scheme, and that's plan A, and that's attack, even if we're losing. Let's keep attacking. So it doesn't make sense to me. Do you follow fighting? Do you follow UFC? Are you familiar with Georges St-Pierre, at least?
I'm not, but continue.
Okay, Georges St-Pierre comes under a lot of flack because of the way he fights. He fights very defensively. He fights very strategically, very methodically. He's very, very, very boring to watch. But he's arguably the greatest fighter ever. Mm-hmm. He came out and finally said, anyone who says that I'm a boring fighter has never fought. So maybe we can argue that Mourinho, we've never managed. So of course we want it to be exciting. But in GSP, the GSP's point, Georges St-Pierre, he said, the goal of any fighter is to get hit the least amount of times. And if I could win taking the least amount of damage, why am I going to go make it exciting for you? I don't owe you anything. I have to win. So, to the point of excitement over results, I always choose results. Always.
Yeah,
because to me, it doesn't make... What's the point of it being exciting if you're losing? It's not exciting. It's not fun to lose. It's fun to win. You have the most fun when your club is winning. You are the most happy when your club is winning. I don't care if it's boring, drab, exciting. Get a win. Get the results necessary to progress yourself further and allow us to be challenging for titles. And that, I can't stand Mourinho, but I can't stand Mourinho more for his off-pitch antics than his on-pitch antics. He does bring results. Do I think that he's going to bring the type of success and stability to United that you guys are looking for? That's a conversation for a different day. I personally think no, but for right now, he's making strategic choices that are keeping him challenging on all fronts as much as possible. No one's challenging for the league, so no one's going to argue anything.
Yeah, so it's difficult for me because, you know, United's in second place. This is a completely different conversation
right now.
If they lose this game today for me. It's a completely different conversation because you saw the best and worst of Mourinho this week. You saw that ugly, disgusting Sevilla game, which Sevilla is probably a team that would play on the same level as a Watford. No offense to Watford, but that's how poorly they've played this year compared to other years in the past. And to have them, United, go in and not attack when they need away goals. You know, if you grab, if you win 3-1, if you're attacking the whole time, you get 3 away goals, you are through. But to play for the 0-0 draw, it just felt, you know, it felt like that game earlier in the season, Ken, when Liverpool was at their worst. Do you remember that? They were at their worst, and United packed it in anyways. And I said at the time, I think that's going to be a really big point, because Liverpool was playing poorly at the time, and United was playing really well, and Jose-Jose'd it. He went in and said, I'll take a draw. And I said, that is unacceptable to go in there. Understand who you're playing against and who you're playing for. Know the strength of your own team. If you are a 5-star team or a 4.5-star team, whatever you want to call United right now, Sevilla then would sit in the 4-star or 3.5-star category. Maybe even a 3-star category. And
absolutely.
You are
but
much
Mourinho
better than
is not
them.
An exciting manager. And if you're expecting him to be exciting, I suggest you temper expectations yesterday. He's never going
to
do anything for you. He's
I don't need
never
going to
do anything for you. He's already said that. He's pretty much said, without needing to say it, he doesn't care what anyone thinks about him. He doesn't care what anyone says about him. He went out to so far as to this week with the whole Pogba and his manager row.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to the players to earn my respect, not the opposite. Because, did you hear Pogba's manager basically came out, they both came to Mourinho and said, you have to play Pogba, you better be starting him.
Yeah, I mean, I heard all kinds of stuff.
So Mourinho's, he's not about your interests or what you think should be best. He is going to take it how he feels is necessary to progress, whether it's right or wrong. Was playing to draw Liverpool at that moment in time right? No. Because they were not playing well. United should have beaten them. And they proved that the next week when they went out and just routed Tottenham.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's what Mourinho wanted to do. He's never going to stray from it. If Mourinho didn't, I think if Mourinho didn't change the tactics today, they lose 1-0.
Yes, exactly.
And you have a
that was the good
thing.
That was
but
the
for
good
some
Mourinho.
Reason, he wanted to win today.
Well,
I think those things he wants to do.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's very difficult because, like you said, we're not managers, and it is, you know, we don't understand, we're not at a level to understand the tactics of the game. Like, I understand what they're doing, I understand formations, but there are nuances that these top-level managers, they don't tell anybody else. You know, there's nothing in the media you can read about. You can't read books that they're going to tell you their tactical changes on. It's very difficult to get at their level, and sometimes I have to tell myself, yes, these guys are world class. Jose Mourinho has, you know, 20 trophies or so, including he's won the Champions League with a Portuguese club. You know what I mean? Like that's ridiculous. So he knows more about tactics than I do. And when he goes to Liverpool and ties 0-0, I'm thinking he's looking at the marathon, not the sprint. But at the same time, as a fan of Manchester United, who, as their brand is supposed to be attacking football, we have not seen a real attacking club since Sir Alex Ferguson gets his mention this week.
Here
as
you
he
go
does,
again.
As he does every single week. But it's
those
important
days are
to
over,
remember.
My friend.
It's important to remember that even he would go and get those 0-0 draws. So I don't know, Ken. It's easy for me to say right now, as we are in second place. If we were in fourth place, it's a different story, and
which,
I'm complaining
which,
and angry.
By the way, I think is more realistic the manner in which they are playing right now, and the way that Liverpool and Tottenham are playing. I think it's a much better chance that you finish in fourth than you finish in second in 10 games time.
Well, the Vegas odds would disagree with you, and that gives.
I would
me
almost
a
guarantee
hope.
You that you finish. Third, Liverpool will finish second, I think.
Yeah, actually,
just
right
the way
now
that they're attacking.
Both of them right now have the same goal differential, +33, which is a significant goal differential. I mean, you could say what you want about Jose's football, but the fact that he's +33 and Liverpool is +33 as well, they're tied for second, granted, behind +59 from Man City. I mean, the fact that they're both at +33 actually indicates more attacking. But you would think it would, but actually just it's more that United, they lock down their back line, don't allow that many goals, and Liverpool does allow a lot of goals. But, you know, I think the fact that City, Pep Guardiola, and Klopp for Liverpool, they put on such attacking shows and they attack all the time, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on United and it puts a lot of pressure on Jose's style here. So he's in second right now. That's what I'll say. He's in second. It's difficult to watch.
Live this moment.
What's better? He's in second. They are Vegas. You know, they are odds-on favorites to finish in second place, which matters, Ken, believe it or not.
But continue.
To your point about Liverpool deserving to finish in second, I agree with that. I believe that Liverpool deserves to finish in second, and I would think, based on form, that they will finish in second. But the fact that United is favored to finish in second because they are 2 points ahead, that is substantial in the non-title race year that is this year with Manchester City. So I guess to end the discussion, I will say the results will always outweigh the performance, but you have less of a lifeline. You have less of a rope if you don't play attacking football at all. So if we finish in fourth or fifth, especially fifth, then I absolutely want Mourinho gone so I don't have to watch this anymore if he's not going to win. If he's not going to win...
He just signed a 5-year deal.
If he's not going to win, then I don't want to have to watch this. So we move on. Manchester United in second place. Chelsea in fifth. Tottenham here, Ken, gets a... You're not going to believe this. A Harry Kane rescue mission in the 88th minute. 1-0 Tottenham at Crystal Palace. Is there something you'd like to say about a Harry Kane rescue mission or Tottenham in general?
I would just say if I'm a Tottenham fan, which I am not.
You are not.
I would.
Documented.
Just remember this season. Because next season will be woefully different, I would imagine. Because you will not have Harry Kane. And you might not have Pochettino either. And whether or not, you know, we'll start, you know, discussing who's the bigger loss, it will always be Harry Kane because he's on the field every week. Pochettino's been in the background running his mouth this season about how trophies don't matter. But the trophy's importance will come when Harry Kane is no longer here because a little club named Real Madrid, who has come out and said, we are going to spend to rebuild our club, and Harry Kane is the number one target. That means that Harry Kane is gone. If Harry Kane is still here next season, I will be the most surprised person that watches the league. I'll guarantee you that. That being said, I mean, good for Tottenham. They get the win. They needed it.
Huge 3 points. One of those that really matter at the end of the season.
It needs to be that because Chelsea lost to United, and that makes the 3 points even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest point I still am saying is Harry Kane scores yet another goal in a 1-0 victory for Tottenham that just goes to show with the players that Tottenham have, they don't have world-class players, but they have players that are ridiculously good.
Well,
relying on only Harry Kane to score these goals.
Actually, this week, Ken, Pochettino compared Dembele to Ronaldinho and who was the other person he compared? Maradona.
I did see that, and you know that's on the same level of delusion as trophies not mattering. But
well, okay, so I do want to give some credit. Dr. Pete sent me a text message. He said, when you guys are done talking about how stupid Pochettino's press conferences are, can you please talk about how he managed to tie Real away, beat Real at home, tie Juventus away, beat Dortmund at home and away, beat Man United at home, beat Arsenal at home, and smoke Liverpool at home? Can you please?
I have
talk
no
about
problem
that?
With Pochettino's managering style. It's the simple fact that he can't keep his mouth quiet when he just simply needs to just say something to defend the club. That is it.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend about whether or not the managers, I don't know when they're talking just to defend their team or just to distract from their team. Jose does all this distraction stuff. I don't know when they're doing it. When is the appropriate time? I don't know, man. That would not be my style at all. I'd be the Ancelotti type where you stay very low-key. You don't talk up any managers. You don't get in any squabbles. You just deal with your team within a team. But, you know, I do understand the allure of taking the focus off your team's maybe poor performances sometimes by saying something ridiculous, which makes every outcome squarely on you and not so much on your teammates. How do you feel about that kind of like diversion and stuff like that?
All I'll say to Dr. Pete's point is the last couple seasons they finished second and third, mm-hmm. and you never heard a word about Tottenham. Never. Kane was never leaving.
That's true.
Anyone could have been managing Tottenham, and if you're just a passerby fan, you'd have to go Google it to see who the manager was. And now that Kane's name is in the media and Pochettino can't keep his mouth quiet, they are going to finish in fourth.
Yeah, we will see. They are
it's
going to
be the worst finish because, and it's just be like, just what happened to the good old shoulder shrug? Pochettino, just give me a shoulder shrug. Don't
they
know.
They are only 4 points out of second. The run in coming. They have a lot of big matches left. Chelsea, on the other hand, Ken, looking ahead to next week, you know Chelsea plays Manchester City next week.
So do we.
Yeah, you play them on Thursday at home at the Emirates. And then, so City, they have an interesting run in here. And then the Sunday match, too bad there's not a title race on. It's at the Etihad for Chelsea, Ken. They are in big trouble.
No, yeah, I mean, they have a lot of big games coming up, which is why, and unfortunately, if it wasn't for the Manchester City game, and Arsenal could string some games together.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting for, you know, the things that don't matter, i.e. finishing in second and finishing in fourth. Who's going to finish fourth and who's going to finish second?
I think it's exciting.
It's not exciting.
I think it is.
It's exciting for losers. No one can win the league this season, Tom. Stop saying that second is the title this season. It's only the title this season because your club is
not
finishing first.
The title is the title. Manchester City's winning the title. But second matters so much because...
Second matters as much as third, Tom. And you know that. Deep down, you definitely know that.
Would you rather have Arsenal? What if Arsenal finished? Didn't Arsenal finish in third 1 year? They passed Tottenham in the last day of the season. That matters.
It matters, but that only matters because of the rivalry between Arsenal and Tottenham. It would have been the same if we finished fifth and we were in sixth.
But there's a rivalry between Manchester United and Manchester City, Liverpool,
right,
and Chelsea, and Arsenal.
But you can't. Not like there is with Manchester United and Liverpool, and not like there is with Tottenham and Arsenal. And stop
But the rivalry is not even part of it. No, it's
it is something
part of it. The prestige in the Champions League makes a huge difference.
Yes, but second and third is the same when it comes to Champions League. You're automatically qualifying. That's the only point I'm making. The only reason second and third will matter is if second and third happen with Manchester United and Liverpool, and it can be argued that the rivalry between Manchester United and Liverpool doesn't even matter anymore because Liverpool hasn't won a title since, like, 1989.
I don't know when it was. I think it was, like, 91 or 92. I don't know. It's been a
long time. What I'm saying is, like, that's where – and there is no built-in, like – Liverpool hasn't finished above Man United. The only reason that mattered with the Arsenal-Tottenham thing was because it was just another year that Tottenham had to wait to finish above Arsenal. And it took him 20 years to do so. That's a big deal. It wasn't the finishing in second or third. Stop making that a big point. It's not.
I think guys are super competitive, and I think it does make a big difference. I mean, I don't think it's a huge difference.
Yeah, it does. But to the grand scheme of things, it makes... no difference. Second and third are going in to Champions. Third's going into Champions League the same way as second is.
I don't know. It's just
the problem
I think
is finishing
ultra competitive.
They extra games.
They're ultra competitive, and second and third they matter to these guys.
Well, of course.
And
if
that
I had a choice
down.
To finish second or third, I want to finish second.
Yeah.
If I can't finish first, but don't make second the priority just because first is untouchable.
It has to be. I mean,
it's just saying to the fact that we're going to make an excuse for not being able to win the title. Stop saying that.
All right. Well, we will stop this conversation and probably pick it up again every single week from here on out. United sits in second place, Liverpool in third, Tottenham in the fourth spot. All those teams are separated by 4 points at 59 points, 57 points, and 55 points respectively. Chelsea sits 2 points behind fourth place, but plays Manchester City this weekend. Arsenal sits 8 points behind them with a game in hand, but that game in hand is Manchester City again on Thursday. So Manchester City isn't going to win every game. You know what I mean? Like, they are going to lose some games. So maybe you'll
get lucky.
Let's
hope they lose Thursday.
Maybe you get lucky, Ken. If they lose Thursday, I mean, you have to say the race for fifth is on. If Arsenal wins on Thursday and Chelsea then loses this weekend, you'd have to say the race is on. Let me see if there's any other games here that are real interesting this weekend. Palace United at Palace, so that one could be a scrapper. City-Chelsea, Arsenal versus Brighton away. Arsenal absolutely has to pick up points there, or not if you just want to finish in sixth place and avoid Europa. Liverpool plays Newcastle. Newcastle in that scrap, and Tottenham plays Huddersfield Town. Ken, anything you want to add about any of those games this weekend?
I'm good to go, man.
Good to go. So we have City gets their second trophy of the season, essentially. We've already given them the title, right, Ken? We're not delusional.
It's Pep's first silverware in England. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get your second one soon.
Yep, you'll get their second one soon as they are on the double. All these matches, the run-in starts. That's what they call the last 10 games here. We'd like to thank everybody for listening. And you know what, Ken? We actually have some options for the World Cup this year. Our Australian pickup's been pretty good over the last 2 months, especially in Victoria. We might have to really get to know some of the Aussie players and give them a shout. Especially when England picks up 1 point in the group stages again.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm open.
Well, for Ken Lee, I am Tom Miller saying I hope everybody has an awesome week and that your team doesn't beat Manchester United to second place. Have a good one.